Hello, and welcome to show number 2605 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
We have quite a lot of things. We do go to a neighboring camp 3 times a week to go swimming and either rock climbing or boating. We also focus some of our camps on different activities, so not so much the cooking, but the other things. Like, for instance, cooking and serving camp, we often are building wooden structures because my husband is pretty good about teaching kids how to use tools.
I never went to summer camp as a kid, but after doing this interview, I wish perhaps I had.
Summer camps can be more than just fun for children who are blind. We'll talk with Gwen Botting, Executive Director of Opportunities Unlimited for the Blind, a summer camp in Western Michigan, about the camp that she runs for visually impaired youth. Besides being fun, the camp teaches many skills such as cooking, gardening, independence, and employment readiness skills. But first for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Gwen Botting.
If you're working in an area where there's more than one blind person, you need to say hot pan, when you're moving anything from the oven to a countertop. Because your voice is where you are, and that's where the pan is. And so the people around you know to get away from that area so that you can safely put that pan on a countertop. It also means you have to have a plan. And you have to know where you're going to go with that pan before you start to move it. And that can be kind of a problem because people don't think about those things ahead of time. Sighted people don't think about that ahead of time. Blind people have to. So that's one of the things that we stress in our kitchen so that our kids are safe in there.
I would say it doesn't actually require multiple blind people in the kitchen for that to be a really good idea. In our household, one of us, me, can see, the other one, Pete, cannot, and I find it always much safer if I tell him where I'm putting something that it would be a bad idea for him to touch, whether it's sharp or hot or, you know, just plain messy.
That's an excellent point.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Gwen.
Hi, my name is Gwen Botting, and I'm the Executive Director of Opportunities Unlimited for the Blind. We have a summer camp located on the west side of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we take kids who are 7 to 17 at that camp. We also hire most of our staff are blind or low vision young adults, and we are always looking for new campers and new staff members to apply.
And how did you get into running this camp?
I got into this because my son was born very prematurely, and he is now 31. His only lasting residual effect from being born at 24 weeks is that he is totally blind. And he did have a seizure problem, but we've kind of taken care of that, I think. Just raising Greg to be a confident, independent adult was pretty much my life work. But then I noticed that a lot of other families were struggling with having teachers that understood their child's needs, with having other adults who in their families and stuff that were coddling their child or not giving their child enough opportunities to do things on their own. And so we got involved with a summer camp. It was located at a different place at that time when Greg was only 2 years old. And that's where we met other people who had children who were low vision and a number of blind adults who were very capable of moving around and doing their own things and cooking for themselves and all that stuff. So I just slowly got into this whole business. I started working at camp as a volunteer, working on their garden program, am basically starting that and doing a lot of cooking projects with the kids. Then things happened and that location didn't turn out to be so great after a while. And so I became the executive director. We found another location that worked better for us.
And tell us a little bit about the new location and what the camp is like.
That is at Camp Optimist on the west side of Grand Rapids. And we actually have a residential style kitchen. We have a garden. We go to a different camp to do swimming. We sleep outside on tent platforms in regular tents, not the old Boy Scout tents. Those were not okay. But we have wooden platforms for all the kids to have their tents on, and every person has their own tent. And we do have flush toilets and running water, so not to worry about that part. We also have two buildings that are air-conditioned and heated if we need that, although Michigan summers generally don't need heat that often. And that is where we teach gardening and cooking, as well as do lots of arts and crafts and music. We do a lot of really cool stuff.
You just gave us a terrific introduction to what the camp does. How many campers and counselors do you figure are involved every season?
Every season, we're working towards about 30 kids. We take only 8 kids per week, and we only have 2 counselors for each gender. So that does total up when you've got 6 camp sessions to about 30 kids if we have all different kids. But a lot of kids love to come back for many sessions. We do put a limit on that because we don't want to have them all summer and they need to do other things. But it becomes a really great way for them to expand their horizons. To come to camp, they have to be more independent. They can't. Their mom's not going to pick up their socks. They're going to lose their socks if they don't pick them up themselves. Those are the important things that every child learns when they go to camp. And so I really believe in camp for every child, regardless of their disability or abilities.
How about the staff?
So we take about 8 kids per week, and we have about 15 staff, more or less, each summer. And at least half of them are blind or low vision, and often 11 or 12 of them are blind or low vision. It does make things difficult when you only have 1 or 2 people who have a driver's license on camp. So I do try and find at least 3 of us that can drive. But other than that, it's pretty much run by people who are blind or low vision.
Now, in our notes back and forth before this interview, you indicated that some of your staff members may be started as campers or started as very entry-level people and have been working their way up. How successful has that been?
That's been incredibly successful, actually. A little bit in a sad way, because what has happened is we have people working for us that have been working for us for a long time, but some of that is due to the fact that they cannot get hired by regular jobs, which is super unfortunate. These guys are really competent, really good. The case in point is our kitchen manager is Halen. I've known her since she was a 14-year-old. She hated camp. She tried to stay in the back seat of her mom's van until I coaxed her out. It was not a great scene for her. I made her cut celery under blindfold, and she thought that was the worst thing in the world. And now she is almost totally blind. She had been losing her vision, and she is so grateful that I taught her all those skills. She now manages the kitchen almost entirely on her own. We did have an assistant kitchen manager this summer who was also totally blind, so I had 2 totally blind people running my kitchen, which was awesome. They do great. They keep it clean. They keep it organized. They know what they're doing. They know where stuff is going. And they even can manage other campers in the kitchen at the same time.
You know, you also talked about the blind person having to plan out their path. Sighted people don't often do that. And that's one thing I think in general, that blind people have to be a little bit more thoughtful and creative about what they're going to do, and they plan things out a little bit more because they can't see where they're going, and they learn to be problem solvers in that regard.
That is absolutely true, and that is one thing about my staff that I love, is that by the time they've gotten to the age where they're 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, they've learned a few things about life, and they've learned that the kids younger than them all need those skills too. And learning how to move around without banging into furniture, without banging into each other. And if you do, please say, excuse me. We've had kids that were not taught to do that, that it was the sighted person's fault if you banged into them. Well, at our camp, everybody almost is blind. So, you know, who's going to be at fault there? And it doesn't matter. You should just be polite. So social skills are another really critical thing that we try and teach our kids to make sure that they have the skills they need. So when they do go into a job interview, they are not seen as some weird thing that can't possibly fit into our culture. We want our kids to have good social skills, to be polite people, to be as normal, that's a terrible word, but as normal as possible, so that they are in a situation where they can contribute to the world around them. We talk about being not just being takers, but givers. Our first camp that we have is called Cooking and Serving Camp. And that is based on the fact that a lot of our kids are done to and done for by the adults in their lives, and often other children as well. And they don't get the opportunity generally to give to other people, to do things for other people, like cook a meal. We are giving our kids a chance to cook every single day, and they're contributing to dinner. They're contributing to breakfast, and they're making lunches for other people who are too busy to make theirs because they're on staff. And that is a fabulous way for kids to learn that they can be givers and not just sit around in their parents' basement and wait till mom calls up and says it's time for dinner and come up and eat, and then put your dishes in the sink and then go back downstairs and play on your phone again.
What is the age range of children who attend your camp?
The children are aged 7 to 17. My staff are generally, I do take some 17-year-olds as counselors in training, but to legally be on staff by the state of Michigan rules, they have to be at least 18. And I'm 67, so our age range for staff is a little bit higher. I also love making sure that our camp is as diversified as possible with people of all backgrounds. A lot of our kids are very low income. Some of our kids have pretty much everything they'd ever could ever want. That combination makes for an interesting cultural exchange, just from that standpoint, just from the economic standpoint, but also the racial background and different disabilities. Because blindness isn't always what people used to call vanilla blind. Blindness also comes with things like autism, spectrum disorders, a little cerebral palsy.
So you talked about teaching the kids kitchen skills and gardening skills. I assume they have some time during the day to play and do sports. What other activities are central to your camp curriculum?
We have quite a lot of things. We do go to a neighboring camp 3 times a week to go swimming and either rock climbing or boating. We also focus some of our camps on different activities, so not so much the cooking, but the other things. Like, for instance, cooking and serving camp, we often are building wooden structures because my husband is pretty good about teaching kids how to use tools. For a child who's blind to actually use a power saw is pretty challenging, but also very, very empowering. So we have built a garden bench. We've built porch swings. We've built a stage for our music building. We've done lots of cool things that way. We have a science week where we do all kinds of crazy stuff, bottle rockets, you name it, we've done it. And then we have a bicycling camp, and this is not just tandem bicycles. This is a camp where we have a person who is a professor from Grand Rapids Community College who has partnered with a totally blind woman to ride cross country on single bikes. She's gone both west to east several times. and north to south on the Continental Divide on mountain bikes.
Oh, now that's challenging for anybody.
That sounds almost impossible. It's challenging for anybody, much less if you can't see.
For anybody who doesn't know what the Continental Divide is, that's the high point in the middle of the Rockies, so that it's the division between anything west of that, the water flows into the Pacific, and anything east of that, it flows into the Atlantic. And by definition, it's the high point, which means it's steep, it's rocky, it's a challenge.
There's a video of Sean trying to get her bike up a stream, and this bugs me to this day. And Jesse's at the top saying, "You're almost there, you're almost there." I'm like, do you have any idea how frustrating that is? But anyway, so Jesse is a fantastic person. He has radio helmets that the kids can practice with, and he also will just use his voice and go in front of them so that the kids can follow on single bikes. So we're also teaching them how to ride tandems. And he has friends that come that are tandem captains. I have friends that come that are tandem captains. We have some blind people come that can show kids how great a bicycling habit can be for your body and for your mind. And also there's a guy that comes with a trailer full of adaptive bikes, because some of our kids have other kinds of mobility issues. So he's got the three-wheelers and the four-wheelers and the hand trikes. And even the kids who are not needing those particular bikes by design love playing with them. They get a lot of activity and a lot of opportunity to try different things, which they love. Our adventure trip this coming year will be to Lake Itasca in Minnesota. We haven't gone that far away in quite a few years, so it'll be interesting to see how that all works out. But I kind of do it like a family vacation, where we stop at different places that look interesting. Like there's a train museum that I think we'll probably try and get to in Wisconsin on our way over there. Lake Itasca is the headwaters of the Mississippi River. It is a fabulous place to kayak. And we partner with a group called Chicago Adventure Therapy. They provide kayaking and rock climbing and other kinds of outdoor experiences for kids that are at risk in the Chicago, basically Chicago inner city. But they also are loving working with us, with our kids, because our kids are also at risk. They're at risk of never going outside. They're at risk of never playing outside because they need an adult. They need someone with eyeballs to watch them. And that's not okay with us. So we actually, last summer, we had kids in single kayaks. They don't do tandem kayaks either. We had single kayaks. We had five kids that kayaked to Grand Island, and this is in Munising, Michigan. Okay, so this is in Lake Superior. They spent the night on Grand Island with stuff they had to bring with them in their kayaks, and then they paddled back. And when they paddled back, they got to kayak under a waterfall, which is coming off the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore. So this was an absolutely fantastic experience for them. This was our fifth year working with Chicago Adventure Therapy. We've done the Apostle Islands. We've done Munising. We've done the Mississippi River. Now we're going to do Lake Itasca in Minnesota.
So this sounds not only like a fun camp, but also it affords blind youth lots of opportunities to learn to be independent and work with other people. And I'm wondering, this is a relatively small camp in a local area in Michigan. What does it take to start up something like that if people wanted to do that in their own community?
If you're in an area that you want to start something like this, first, be willing to put a lot of time and effort into it. Get used to writing grants, because to start with, you're going to need some money. And if you find someone who can back you up and provide a lot of your ground floor funding, that is great. We pay all of our staff, and some people think, well, they must be volunteers, but they're really not. They're getting paid because they all need to learn how to manage their money as well. So having a financial person in your group is really important. Forming a board of directors, all the steps that anybody would have to do to start a nonprofit, which I know you can find on the internet pretty easily, making sure you're registered with your state and with the federal government, getting your nonprofit status, all of that stuff, so that you can actually get grants, because you're really not going to get a grant without a 501c3.
So there is a lot of work involved, but apparently it can be done.
Yeah, there is. It can be done, and I pray other people will do it. I'm really excited to know that the camp that we left years ago is now focusing on young children and families with kids that are under six. And that's really exciting to me, because my camp is not really suited for little people, because I don't have any much concrete at all, and I don't have any dorm situations. But that other camp does. And so that really works out for them to take that age group and really work with them and get them outside and get them busy and doing things and listening to the birds and listening for the foxes and noticing when a bird goes by so fast that you can actually feel the air under their wings. That is so amazing. But it does take a sighted person usually to help them get that connection. And that's what we do. I have lots of people that work with us, that are collaborators with us, that love to work with our kids. The Chicago Adventure Therapy people are always almost in tears when we have to say goodbye at the end of the week, because they love our kids so much. And most of them are retired people, older than me.
Well, Gwen, maybe you can remind our listeners what the name of the camp is and how they can find out more about it.
Okay, so the name of our camp is Opportunities Unlimited for the Blind. If you look on our website now, you will see that we're also doing a few things during the school year, including financial literacy classes that start January 3rd. This is really an important thing that kids need to learn. And it is led by a guy who is low vision. So he kind of knows what the challenges are for people that can't see their money, and how to use those apps on your phone to do that sort of thing. And we also have a tandem bike riding thing coming up in the spring, as well as our Camp Garden Week. That's all on our website, which is www.oubmichigan.org. If anyone would like my job, I would be happy to interview you. I need to retire some point, and let's just say sleeping in a tent is not as fun as it used to be. So I'm looking for someone who really can get excited about running an organization like ours and taking it to the next level.
I understand you're also looking for new campers and other staff members.
We're always looking for new staff, always looking for more campers. We do need an assistant camp director that could morph into a full-time position, depending on how well that works for us. We have lots of job opportunities. We are always, always searching for nurses. Because we hold a five-day camp, we're required to have nursing services. So that is one thing that we need: an adventurous person who's willing to share their time and their life with us for about 8 weeks. We have almost 2 weeks of staff training and then 6 weeks of camp after that. So we're done by the end of July, and we start camp in the middle of June. We have a lot of really exciting things that we're doing, and I hope lots of people that are listening are going to be just as excited about that.
Is there a phone number or an email where people can contact you or the organization directly?
Yes. Our office person is office@oubmichigan.org. Our camp director is campdir@oubmichigan.org. And the website, again, is www.oubmichigan.org.
And we didn't catch your personal contact information?
My name is Gwen, so it's gwen@oubmichigan.org. I'm always happy to answer any inquiries of any kind. And my phone number, and you are welcome to text me as well. In fact, a young lady just did about our cooking program this weekend. Is 616-755-2221.
Great.
And do you have a social media presence?
We have Facebook, and I think that's just Facebook/OUB Michigan. I think we're also on Blue Sky, but I'm not totally positive how that works either, because I am not the tech person. That is not my forte, and that is the joy of having staff that handle all that stuff for me. That's not my thing. But working with kids, getting them the skills they need to be more successful as adults is the name of the game. And that includes my staff as well as our campers.
Doesn't Opportunities Unlimited for the Blind sound like a wonderful way for a blind child to spend some time over the summer? Well, it is not the only summer camp program that we have talked about over the years on Eyes on Success. And they range from the East Coast to the West Coast and on a variety of topics. So if your child is interested in science or computers, we did a show a few years ago about the National Coding Symposium and STEM Camp, another one about a computer camp for blind youth, a chemistry camp for blind youth, and a really interesting sports camp called Camp Abilities. And Camp Abilities is in upstate New York, and it's run by a professor at SUNY Brockport, where the counselors are students in the program at SUNY Brockport, where they're learning how to teach blind students, and in particular, physical education programs. So they use the summer camp to train future teachers of blind students. And, oh, by the way, the children attending the camp are getting the benefit of having the latest and greatest techniques being used with them. And so there's benefits to everybody, not only during that particular week, but in the future. And so if you're interested in summer camps, we encourage you to look at our show notes for this show, and you will be able to find links to previous episodes where we talked about other summer camps.
And our show notes also contain any of the contact information you've heard in this episode, along with all those resources. So check out the show notes. They can be very useful. And as of the first of this year, we started including transcripts for each show. You can find the transcripts for each show on our website and download the text formatted transcript of each show. Or you can subscribe to our weekly announcements list to get those transcripts along with links to our audio and show notes by sending an email to Eyes on Success, followed by the plus sign, followed by the word subscribe, and then at googlegroups.com. So that's Eyes on Success plus subscribe at googlegroups.com, and you'll receive weekly announcements of all of our shows.
That's it for today's show. Well, next week is Valentine's Day, and we thought that would be a good opportunity to do another show on meeting and dating. And this time, rather than finding somebody else to interview, we'll be telling our story from when we first met in 1982 until the present.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, available wherever you get your podcasts.
For show notes, resources, and more information, visit our website at eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, I'm Peter Torpy.
And I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy. Thank you for listening.